listening to Stand to Reason's hashtag STRAsk. I'm Amy Hall, and Greg Kokel is here with me, and we're here to look at your questions and give a response and hopefully help you out a little bit with your questions.
That's right. Hopefully. God willing.
Here's a question from Sylvia. Does any form of art, music, visual arts, performing arts, etc., bring glory to God, even if the artist never intended that? For example, artists who aren't saved.
Yeah, I think so. I've done quite a bit of thinking about this. And now there are subjects of art, in other words, the focus of the art, that are not glorifying to God. So you could see a film where tremendous creativity is demonstrated and the creativity is used to produce something dark and ugly and or maybe appealing to the prurient interest, which would be kind of sexually stimulating, or something that was meant to distort truth in some way. So the subject of the artistic enterprise could be dishonoring to God, but that someone has the capability to deliver something effectively of an artistic sort is, to me, an evidence of the image of God in man. And I get excited about that aspect of it. I think about it. This is going to sound strange to folk, but I was driving on my way up along the 405, not too far from the from LAX, which I pass on the way into the south to Long Beach, where I'm doing the broadcast at our offices. And there was a building going up. It was an apartment building or something. And it was all stick framed out, multiple floors. And then there was big beams that were set on the floors. And there were stacks of plywood that they're going to sheet the whole building with so that it was safe from earthquakes. I got turned on when I saw that. I like the idea of building something, building the structure. Now, I was in carpentry for a while. I still do trade work at home and whatever, but still, it was the idea that here is something. This is be fruitful, multiply, and subdue, in my view. This is like going out and making stuff. When I go, by the five-level interchange on one of the freeways, you got all these multiple freeways coming in together and it's stacked really high. And I look at it and I marvel. It's really fascinating how human beings can do that. Wow. Well, this isn't the woods. This is what God made. This is what man made. But still, it's a significant enterprise that man is capable of doing because of the way God made man and the mandate he's given human beings. Okay? And keep in mind that for those who are total into the nature thing, that when the kingdom is described in the book of Revelation, it describes a city, not a forest, something that is built. All right? So I see all of these kinds of things, even really nicely done movies that are nihilistic in style or something like that. I still can acknowledge the great skill with which they were made, even though I lament the loss of beauty that's associated with God and the truth that's associated with God. So this is something that occurs to me a lot. And this is what I think. I could be wrong about this because there's not a lot of clarification in John about this. But in 1 John, it talks about the boastful pride of life. Okay? And my suspicion is the boastful pride of life is the great, wonderful things that human beings are capable of doing with their lives and in their lives, yet don't give God the glory for it. They are seeing it as autonomous productions of selfish, self-centered effort. Look at me, 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 me. I've done it. Look at how glorious I am. And all the attention is drawn to them. I see great actors and great performers and musicians who appear to be deeply self-centered. And I think, what a tragedy, because they've been so beautifully gifted by God and they are squandering it with self-adulation. It's the boastful pride of life. That's what it seems like mm-hmm. to me. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you about being overwhelmed by creativity. I felt the same way just watching the recent landing of the new Mars rover just a few months ago.
Mm.
And this sometimes I'm just overwhelmed by what human beings accomplish because that points to God and our image of God in us. In fact, I just discovered that this is another time this happened just recently. During the pandemic, on TikTok, somebody wrote a song. You know, TikTok, you just have a short amount of time. I don't even know how short the time is, but somebody started off writing a song as if there was a Ratatouille musical. You know, Ratatouille was a Pixar.
Yeah, right.
And then all of a sudden, all these people started writing songs for this musical. And then somebody started creating the playbill and then the set and then all these different aspects of this, just this amazing coming together of creativity. Mm-hmm. And they actually put it together. Some producer came and hired actors and put this all together and created this Ratatouille musical out of just this overwhelming creativity that was just bubbling up during the pandemic when nobody had any place to send all of their creative ideas.
Yeah.
And that every time I see that, I just think of the glory of God, and I'm always amazed, and I always think of the glory of God. Now, that doesn't mean other people are thinking that. The people who aren't Christians probably aren't thinking that, but I do think that objectively, art, when it is not against God, mm-hmm. the glory will be seen at the end of time, and God will receive the glory for that at the end of the time, just as we are now as Christians recognizing the glory of God and the creativity that we see. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about, and I shouldn't even say that. I just realized Peter Hitchens, one of the reasons why Christopher Hitchens' brother,
right.
One of the reasons he became a Christian, part of his story is looking at a painting. And I believe the painting was of people in hell or on their way to hell.
Mm.
And he was so moved by that played a huge part in his becoming a Christian. Hmm. So God can definitely use art to bring him glory through even bringing people to himself.
I wonder if it was St. Peter's Basilica. You know, they have that great fresco on the ceilings there. Creation all the way to hell. And the images there, is it Michelangelo? I get him and the other guy mixed up. But the images there of the agony of those who are without hope crossing the river Styx there to hell, as it were, and the look on their face is so compelling. You really identify with that loss of hope. Maybe that's what he was referring to.
Yeah, I can't remember. The only thing I remember is that he was saying that they looked so real. The people looked so real, just as you were saying, Greg. I think it was a Dutch painting, but I could be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. But he just saw himself in that. And anyway, hopefully I'm remembering the story right, but I do remember it had to do with the painting, and that was a big deal to him.
Mm-hmm.
So art's definitely, you know, even if people aren't intending it or aren't intending to see God's glory, I think sometimes they see his glory.
You know, I recall kind of along the same line, the first time I saw one of these crowd things, I don't know, there's a name for them where it's all orchestrated.
Flash
mobs. And so it was at a train station somewhere in Europe, and somebody started singing Do Re Mi, one person in the middle of the mob, and then all of a sudden other people joined her, you know, and it was like a musical in real life, you know, these people coming out of her and people coming down the stairs. I'm getting goosebumps now thinking about it because it was so magnificent. It made me cry. It was amazing. And there's been others like it now since then, but this one was the best one for me because it was just overwhelming. The power and the beauty of it all, and then the people's response as they see this happening all around them. You know, it's almost like they're caught up in a dream world of sorts, and it was magnificent. So, Do Re Mi, Flash, what do you call it? You can look it up that way. It's fabulous.
Beauty is an amazing thing, and it does have the power to transcend the things that we get used to seeing around us. I don't know how else to put it, but but beauty does do a lot. It's important, and I wish our society cared more about it. When you look at the arts now, you don't see as much of a desire to communicate beauty. It's more about, I don't even know how to describe it, going against culture. There's such an idea of, I want to be anti-culture. I want to be transgressive. I want to shock. And I think we lose so much when we don't have that beauty. And so we need to go back and look at older things sometimes to find that. But,
you know, this kind of beauty confers no reproductive advantage either, by the way. Think about that with regards to Darwinian evolution. All of the things that we're talking about, aesthetic values, confer no reproductive advantage. There's something absolutely unique about this. And by the way, it's not just some little bitty thing that happens by accident. We are describing a massive area of human activity that confers no reproductive advantage whatsoever, yet it is a vital part of being human. Evolution cannot even begin to explain this.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the next question, Greg. This one comes from Mel.
Mel?
Should I go to a baby shower for a same-sex couple having a baby via IVF?
Oh, boy. This one's a little harder than usual. I've not been asked this question before, which is kind of characteristic of STR Ask. We get a lot of unique questions. When it comes to marriage, the purpose of a wedding ceremony is to celebrate the relationship and the commitment and everything that's involved with tying the knot, so to speak, and friends and family come along to support and celebrate. Since, as a Christian, I can't support and celebrate that union, our recommendation at Stand to Reason is that we do not go to those wedding services. There, you can build relationship with the couple in other ways afterwards, but not celebrate that relationship or that that event. I think that having a child is different, though, because there's nothing wrong with celebrating the birth of a child. Notice this event is a celebration of a birth. There may be questions about the circumstances under which the baby was conceived and born, but the celebration is for the child. Okay? So I would not advise against it unless you have some other reason that you can convince me of. And I'm open, but I think it's different than a wedding, than a same-sex so-called wedding, because I don't think they're weddings at all. It's not a marriage. It's an oxymoron, same-sex marriage. But I think that it's different. Let's just put it this way. And it's a matter of individual opinion. If somebody doesn't want to attend because they don't feel comfortable, then I understand that completely. But I think it's in a little bit different moral category. What do you think, Amy?
I think it is different in that it's one step removed from the actual, from, say, for a wedding, you're right, that the wedding is the celebration of the marriage. So that's an immediate thing that you're doing. So this would be one step removed. So you're celebrating the baby, but then your question is, how did this baby come to be? So my question would be, how is it possible to separate the creation of this child from the celebration of the child in this situation? Because there's obviously something else involved here. This wasn't you've created a child with the specific intent of denying it one of its parents. So they've either used a man or a woman, we don't know from this question, their body parts to create a child for them. And to me, now you're saying things about what a child is, the idea that a child is a commodity, that you're creating it specifically to deny it one of its parents, either its mother or its father, because it will be with two of the same sex parents. And so now you're creating a child as a commodity. And so, again, Greg, this is one step away. This isn't the actual baby. The baby, obviously, we want to help and we want to love. But my question would be, how much does this other aspect of it come into this situation, even though it is one step removed? So I think, Greg, I think you're probably right that maybe this is more of a matter of what you think that particular situation will be communicating. But I'm curious, how do you see this as, because I know you've said before that it's not a good idea to attend a baby shower for an unwed mother.
Right.
So how would you see that as being different from this situation?
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, and I'm not entirely sure. The idea, and my wife, who is a single mom, also worked at a crisis pregnancy center, had this principle, this policy herself, where if there was a baby shower of a single mom, of an unwed mother, then she would not go to the baby shower, but she would send a gift of provision, but wouldn't celebrate. And I don't, you know, I'm sympathetic to it. I've offered that in the past. I'm not sure how stringent even I would keep that rule at this point, because, and I've mentioned this in another context with gender, sometimes our principled response comes across simply as mean-spiritedness. So we are not advancing a sound moral principle, supporting it, not in the view of others, which would be the point of trying not to celebrate a circumstance where children were conceived out of wedlock, with the idea of if we make that a non-celebratable thing, then maybe people won't do it as much. You know, the world has changed so much, though, when something like 50% of children are born out of wedlock now. I mean, it's just staggering that I could make that comment, that now if we weren't willing to enter in support, in some sense, of that child's birth, that we are just coming across mean-spirited and legalistic in some way, even though our intentions are good ones. So this is where it's a judgment call, I think. And it's these are hard issues, yeah. I think.
Yeah, I just want to reiterate, it is one step removed from a marriage, because you're celebrating the child. You're not celebrating, and everyone agrees that children are valuable, and we have no issues with that part of it. So it is one step removed from that.
Let me offer a qualifier here, and even in my own mind, trying to sift through this. There are some times where you make a decision because the moral criterion or the moral distinctions are really clear. And even though they go against the, you know, conventional wisdom, you're still willing to buck the trend because of what's good and right. All right. There are other times where you make a choice to do something because you hope your choice in that circumstance will have a salutary effect on the community. All right. So in the case of, say, an unwed mother, the idea of, wait, we're not going to celebrate this because it's we don't want to encourage this kind of thing. And so maybe we can have a salutary effect if our broader culture didn't celebrate it. But our broader culture does celebrate it. So us saying no in that circumstance is not going to help anything, and we are not morally obliged to say no. And that's where I distinguish this from other circumstances. We are not morally obliged to say no. Then it may be better just to go with the flow, rather than not having an impact for good and seeming mean-spirited. Nothing good comes out of it. The first case, we're thinking morally and being true to morality. The second thing, we're looking pragmatically, trying to have a salutary effect. And if that effect isn't taking place, then what's the sense of doing it, especially when the effect can actually be negative, where we just look mean-spirited and nasty.
And again, the difference with a same-sex marriage would be that we would actually be lying about what a marriage is by celebrating it. That's mm-hmm. that seems like a different situation altogether. So, yeah, thank you for all those distinctions, Greg. I think that's helpful. It's a tough world we live in, and it's sometimes difficult to figure out. And that's why I'm grateful that we have grace and we do the best we can. And sometimes we'll mess up and sometimes we won't. And we have to be grateful for God forgiving us and helping us to move forward. All right. Well, thank you, Greg. And thank you, everyone, for your questions.
Welcome.
This is Amy Hall and Greg Kokel for Stand to Reason.